Please open in your Bibles to the Epistle of John. That's one of those last books just before Revelation. I want to speak this morning entitled, Does the Lord Have Your Undivided Attention? Not does He have your attention, but does He have your undivided attention? There is a difference. And in the Epistle of John, I want us to see three components that the Lord had their attention. In verse 1 of chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, God had the attention of their hearing, which we have seen with our eyes. He had the attention of their focus, which we have looked upon with our hands. God had the attention of their doing things. Their hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And was manifested unto us. There's that word that last week in St. John, the 14th chapter, I ministered where Jesus said, in verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. And here John writes, and he talks about how the Lord manifested. But I want you to see perhaps one of the keys for the God manifesting is He had the attention of their ears, of their eyes, and of their hands. I was watching, I shouldn't have. It takes me 2 hours to pray through. Watching those ducks yesterday get beat. And I noticed one of the fellas had a ball thrown at him. And you've all seen this in sports. He's very good at catching the ball. But he took his eyes off the ball just for a split second. And when the ball reached his hands, he dropped it. And the comment was made, you knucklehead. No, he took his eyes off the ball. And how often our attention that is necessary for the Lord to have, sometimes He doesn't have our attention. He has it, but then sometimes it's not to the degree of intensity perhaps the Lord wants in order to manifest Himself. And you had your chance. That's the fourth time. We'll go to the microphone. This one's, it comes in and out and it's blinking, and Donnie thought the battery was good and then bad, but it's no longer going to steal my attention. But we'll use this one and I'll try not to wonder. I ask myself often when I'm in prayer, because prayer is a thing that is necessary for the Lord to have your attention. One of the reasons He says to enter into thy closet when you pray is because He wants to have your attention and it not compete with other things that can distract. Jesus talked about the seed that was planted, but it wasn't fruitful because the things of this world choked it out. Another type of undivided and not proper attention. My wife, I don't want her to hear what I'm about to say, but sometimes she'll say to me, honey, you're not listening. Now, just between me and you, she's right, but I'm not going to let her know that, because she'll be talking to me, and I'll be nodding. She said, "You're not listening to me." "Oh, yes, I am." And she'll ask me to repeat it, and I get about 90% of it. But for a while there, she was telling me, "Honey, you need to go to the dentist." And I know I need to go to the dentist, but she really didn't have my attention. And she didn't until I woke up a few days ago, and I looked in the mirror when I went to brush my teeth, and I'm only going to show you this one time, and then I'm going to be really self-conscious. I had a hole missing. One of my teeth just broke off, and I must have swallowed it during the night and couldn't find it. And then next to me swallowing it, I had, I know, TMI, too much information. And then she said, "You need to go to the dentist." I am. And then the next day, I went to the dentist, and he's going to see what he can do. But then I had another cap that was not really fastened correctly. And when I got home that night, the cap fell off. And I said to myself, I should have listened to my wife and gone in sooner. But sometimes you just don't focus your attention to the degree that you should have. Not your head, that I have your attention. You know what I'm talking about. In fact, I was watching the news, and there was this officer who was arresting a lady. I don't know what she did wrong, but apparently she did something wrong. But as he was trying to get her attention to surrender, she wouldn't cooperate. And she was fighting and kicking, and the more she fought and kicked, the more he put on some restraints to her. And she's screaming, "Help, help, help, help." And I'm screaming back at her, "Just surrender. That's all you have to do is surrender." And finally, because she was forced to surrender, and she didn't really do it willingly, and I thought, oh, how often that perhaps is true with us. The Lord wants our attention of a surrendered will. But because our will is not surrendered, he keeps applying pressure at times to get our attention. You say, well, God has my attention, but does he have your attention of a surrendered will? And that could involve many things. How many have ever observed when you're driving, you see somebody who's driving, and it's never you, but you look over and they have their phone and they're texting. Anybody ever see that? And you want to say, I don't know what you want to say. I know what I want to say. You know, get your mind on your driving. You see them weaving on down the road, and because are they paying attention to their driving? Yes, to some degree. But the driving doesn't have their undivided attention, and consequently, we find themselves getting into trouble. The other day, I was talking with someone. It was at a restaurant. And as I was talking to this person, I noticed that I don't have their attention, because this person would look at me and then stare off and was looking at the TV in the restaurant. And I thought, you know, I'm talking about something really important, but apparently I don't have your attention. So I continued to talk a little bit, and they'd look, check in with me for about a half a second. They'd go back and they're looking here. Finally, I just quit talking. And then I got their attention again. And they looked back at me, and I continued to talk. And I had talked for a little bit. I thought, I know I'm boring, but I'm not that boring. And then they went off again and started looking at the TV, and so I quit talking. And they came back. How many know what I'm talking about? And how often I think of that scripture where the Lord says in the book of Revelation, "He that hath an ear, do I have your attention?" You find oftentimes God is competing to get our attention. And we must be careful that our hearts do not deceive us to the point, well, I'm listening, but no, we're really not listening. And sometimes we think that we're paying attention, but we may not be paying attention with a surrendered will. You have the story of Paul in the book of Acts, who the deacon Stephen, who is full of the Holy Ghost, is preaching. And he's preaching with great eloquence and preaching of the history of Israel and doing a superb job of preaching. And the Bible says that at that time his name was Saul. And he was consenting of them stoning Stephen. He was an enemy of the church. And as Stephen is preaching and giving the history of Israel and accusing Israel you do always resist the Holy Spirit. And he was laying down the history of the nation of Israel of how they were resisting arrest, resisting surrendering to the Lord. And Stephen went on to say, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And it made the Jews and the leaders quite angry, and they stoned Stephen. And Stephen at the last quoted those famous words, we're familiar that Jesus said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, or something very similar. And the Bible said that was Paul, or Saul at the time, observing this. Now it had his attention. God had his attention, but it did not have the attention of a surrendered will. And now, in the next few chapters, we read where Saul, on his way to Damascus to do more havoc against the church, God knocked him off his animal he was riding, knocked him on the ground, and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now God has his attention. I hope God doesn't have to knock you off your horse to get your attention. I hope that God can speak to you in a way that you're not distracted by other cares of this life and etc. And because it was then that Paul, who didn't know God, but I can read, not between the lines, but just right on the lines in the chapter earlier that Stephen was preaching. He's hearing the preaching of the Word of God, and yet at the same time, he's resisting God trying to deal with him. Go ahead and stone Stephen. And they stoned him. But now God knocks him down on the ground and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul realizes there's something that's been going on. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest. And God had his attention. How do you know that? Because Saul said, what wilt thou have me to do? You know when God has your attention? It's when your will is surrendered. It's when your will says, yes, Lord, what do you want? That is when God gets your attention. Other things that lead up to it may have the focus, and you may be thinking about it, but it is not the type of attention that pleases God. He wants a surrendered will that says, what wilt thou have me to do? He wants the will when you're praying that says, not my will, but thine be done. That is the kind of attention that God wants. In the book of Revelation, we find a trumpet was used. Trumpets are often used to rally the troops, to go to war. It says in Corinthians, if a uncertain sound goes, in other words, if the trumpet is not playing something that people identify with, how shall they know to go to battle? If you're ready to go to battle and you start playing taps like it's funeral music, you're not going to arouse the troops. But when it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or whatever they do, they had a familiar sound that they knew, this is battle time. And he had their attention. And oh, we must listen with all of our being. God is worthy of all of our attention. He's worthy of our ears, of our eyes, and of our hands. He's worthy to capture the attention of my understanding. He's worthy to capture the attention of my affections. Sometimes you can be a listener, but your heart isn't in it, and he doesn't have the attention of your heart. That's why the Bible said the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When your heart gets in it, he's got your attention, and you've got his attention. And that's why the Lord, a broken, a contrite spirit, he will not despise. Because there's something about the heart that when it moves into the position of a brokenness and of a humility, you are giving God your undivided attention. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble, to those that are coming to attention and to listen. And the Bible is full of stories over and over and over of God trying to get people's attention. It took the attention of a little boy who kept going to Eli. Did you call me? No, I didn't call you. And finally, it took a little boy to get the attention of Eli that God was talking. And may that be, and get Eli's attention of, why didn't he talk to me? And he had to use a little boy. And it's because Eli wasn't in the position he should have been. I'm not saying God will always go to you and he won't go to someone else. But in this particular case, if I was Eli and I'd been a priest, it'd make me wonder, well, how come he has to use a little boy to talk to me? And I'm being a priest and I've got two sons that I was supposed to have raised in the bring up in the way of the Lord, and they don't know God, and I don't fault Eli for that. But I do fault Eli that he did not discipline his children, and God came down on him for that, knowing that he was not disciplining him as he ought. But the point is that God had to use a little boy to get the attention of Eli. I want to close with a very short story. I preached long enough last 3 weeks, so I'm going to be very short today. When I went to the dentist on Thursday, let me back up. There is the dentist, Dr. Lynn, and he has an assistant. And I've asked her permission if I could tell this, and she said yes. But a couple of years ago, as you know, at times I'll get words of knowledge on people. I've had some on you over the years. But after the dentist comes in and examines me, then he'll leave the room, and then the assistant will come in to take x-rays. This young one lady, a couple of years ago, the Lord gave me a word on her. So I explained to her what was going on, that she already knew I was a minister, and somehow in a conversation one day, but I began to share with her. I said, you know, I hope you'll receive this, but the Lord has showed me something about you. And so she seemed very open, very honest, with a wonderful attitude, and she seems to be about, I better get in trouble, but I think around 30 years of age or thereabouts. And I said, I see a bunch of shoes. Do these shoes mean anything to you? She says, no. Oh, yes. A couple of days ago, someone gave me a sack of shoes, a whole sack of them. She says, why would God show you that? I said, I don't know. I know it's biblical. Well, I said, I will let you know what I'm thinking. Jesus told Nathanael, before Philip brought Nathanael to Jesus, he brought him, and then Jesus said, Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree. And when Nathanael knew that there's no way Jesus could have known that except the Lord reveal it to him, it puts credibility behind what Jesus had to say. It put value, credit behind it. So I said to her, just to let you know that God is real. Now that was a little over a year ago. And then about maybe 8 months ago, I'm in and have to get another tooth worked on. And he comes in, Dr. Lynn, and then he leaves. And just before I got there, the Lord gave me a word again as I'm driving into the driveway. And I see her, and I know another situation. So after Dr. Lynn left now, and I said, do you remember the last time? And she said, I remember. I said, I have another word from the Lord for you. And she says, well, she grinned, said, what is it this time? I said, well, you have a brother. And this brother, he's working at a job, and he's not happy. And he's getting ready to quit. Am I telling you the truth? She said, yes. He works at a ranch. He hasn't been happy. He doesn't feel he's been treated fairly. And he's been letting us know. And yes, he's wanting another job. I said, well, he'll get another job. But there again, the Lord was getting her attention. So in that time, I said, well, do you believe this is the Lord? She said, yes. So I invited her to church. And she said she would come. But she didn't come. I don't think the Lord had her attention yet. So now I'm in here now the third time. There had been another time, but here I'm now in the third time. And this happened Thursday. And just as I'm driving in, I'm wondering, I thought, Lord, I know there's this young lady I've been witnessing to. I wonder if you have something else for her. When there it came from the Lord. And the Lord said, speak to her the word children. Now, I don't understand these things. I don't have to understand them. I just have to walk in the light that I have and use wisdom to carry it out. So when I went in and he looked at me and he examined me and he said, we're going to have to take some x-rays. He leaves the room. There she is. And I look at her and I said, I have, and she said another word from the Lord. I said, yes. And I could tell she was open. So I said, just as I was driving in, I was wondering if the Lord had something for you. And I said, sure enough, he did again. I said, now I don't make this happen. She said, okay. And I said, he wanted me to speak to you the word children. And this lady, she says, before you go on, stop. I thought, uh-oh, I've offended her. She said, do you know that just before you came in, I saw on the docket that you were coming, and I said to myself, I wonder what he's going to have from the Lord this time. And do you know that just as I was contemplating that, I had the strongest impression come to me, and I know it wasn't me, and it said that he's going to come in and say the word children. I said, and she says, you've got to believe me. As though she's trying to convince me. I said, I believe you, but do you believe me? She said, yes, I believe you. I said, all right, let's just stop for a moment. God is not doing this to entertain us. God is not doing this to elevate anybody. God is not doing this to draw attention to me or to anything else. He's doing it because he wants to get your attention. And I perceive he hasn't got it yet. And the reason I say that to you in all tenderness is that I asked you last time if you would come to church and you said you would and you didn't. Now, I'm not going to judge and I don't know what happened, but there's been plenty of Sundays since. So I'm saying he doesn't have your attention yet. I said, will you come to church? She said, yes, I will. Well, she's not here yet. I said to her, well, I hope to see you. She said, I will. And I said, and by the way, do I have your permission to tell this story? She said, yes, because I know it's real. Now, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. His brother Bob told me this morning when he saw me on the porch, he said, I said, someone promised me they'd come and they're not here. He said, well, give him the benefit of the doubt. So I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I'm trusting God and I'm praying that the Lord will bring her in and get a hold of her. But how many know what I'm talking about? Getting your attention to where it moves more just than contemplating, but it moves to action in your life. Not the hearers of the word of God are justified, but the doers. The doers are those that you got my attention, I'm going to be obedient and act on it. And that's why Jesus said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, and loveth me, to him will I manifest myself. And that is what we're seeing. So I want to ask you to pray for this young lady, that I'm trusting God to get a hold of her. How many know it'd be good to see somebody get saved? It's always God's will to get somebody saved. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And people are lost. And may we, as we seek the Lord and as we pray, may he get the attention of my mind. May he get the attention of my heart. May he get the attention of my will. It's got to be surrendered. May he get the attention of my every part of me. Now, we're going to go somewhere. But, oh, how many want to see God move? I want to see a move. That's why I preached about a month ago. Give me some dirt. And oh, may we continue to seek the Lord. Would you stand? I'm done. But oh, may he have the attention of every bit of me. When I'm to love the Lord, I'm to love him with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength. I hope he has your attention. When Paul, formerly known as Saul, is knocked down, he, being a person of authority, understood what was taking place when he said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" I hope that's your heart's prayer. I hope you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Could we come as a church and just unite our hearts one with another, and simply by an act of our coming forward and an act of our lifting our hands and an act of our entering into this, say, "Lord, you have our attention." And as a church, we desire to see your glory. We desire to see you work in our life. I seek your will, O God. As Jesus said, "Thy law is within my heart." Oh, thy law and thy will is within my heart. Oh, when I seek him, may we give him all of our attention. May we drown out those things that compete for our attention, that would cause us to be divided, and that when we grow, it chokes it out. And when we pray, may we enter into our closet and we put all of our heart and mind and soul and strength on him. When we pray, may there be the attention of our emotions. When we can get emotional about other things, but when our prayers are over the lost and it does not touch our emotions, oh, may captivate the emotions, as Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered thee." When you pray over your loved ones, I want to encourage you to let your heart pour out before the Lord and let your passions come to the surface, not for a show, but that is what God honors when you give him your attention. Let's pray one with another. Father, we agree together with one another. Oh God, we do praise you, Lord. We do want to put you first. Oh Lord, we pray for our loved ones. Oh God, that you might save them, that you might heal them, that you might lift them up, oh God, for the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And you're touched with the feelings of our infirmities. May we give all of ourselves to you. For a broken and contrite spirit you will not despise. He that draweth nigh unto me, oh, that's coming with the full intent, and their heart means business. Oh God, those are the ones that you work with. Oh God, may we so come to that place where all of us enters in, and then there's something that happens. Faith rises up. Faith rises up. Oh God, I believe you today. You know, church, God is looking for a man that'll do one thing, that'll believe his word, that'll contend for his word. And oh God, may we believe you. May we believe your words. Oh Jesus, we thank you. Let's just praise him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 May we praise you with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. Bless your people, I pray. Oh Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless your people. May we have the dedication of Caleb of old that said, "I am this day 85, but I have wholly followed the Lord. He's got every bit of me." God, continue to raise up us people, Lord, to serve you. Oh God, we thank you and we praise you. And in proportion as we keep your commandments, and love you. Will you manifest yourself? Oh God, we do that. May you find a place to pray. Let's continue to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's believe God. Hallelujah. Let's believe God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.